And welcome back to the Expressway for another exciting week. We got news for you just hot off the presses. We got some giant news for you. Lots of stuff going on in the NFL, particularly with our two New York teams. I am Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And you are watching the one and only The Expressway, where we bring you all the up-to-date news on all the New York sports teams, specifically our New York Giants. And this week, BT, we got some blockbuster news going on that I was surprised that would even happen. But it was a bye week, so you never know what happens during the bye week.
Yeah, but see, at the end of that loss against Carolina when they came back from Germany, he said he's going to do something. And the only thing I thought he could do is that, and I didn't know it, but someone had told me two or three times that if Danny Jones gets hurt before the end of the year, his contract for next year is guaranteed. Now, I didn't know that. And then I thought when they came back from Germany, they're out of the playoffs. They have really no chance at all to try to get in. Why take a chance on keeping Danny Jones upright when you know you're not going to have him next year and you need to start looking toward the future? The bad thing is that I don't know if Danny DeVito is the answer. I have this guy that I do some stuff with, and he's friends with their mother and father. He thinks he's one of the greatest quarterbacks that's unheard of. And I'm kind of shocked by that because he started at least five or six games last year, and then Tyrone Taylor came in because he wasn't doing as well, Danny DeVito. But I think that the Giants, their hands were kind of against the wall. They had to make a move, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and I think you're in a win-win situation, not a lose-lose situation, because you know Danny Jones wasn't going to take you to the promised land. Obviously, with a 2-8 record, you don't have a chance, more than likely, not to make it to the playoffs, especially given the remaining schedule. We got Tampa Bay this week. We'll go into that a little bit. You still got to play the Cowboys one more time, even though they're struggling and won't be with Dak Prescott. And they may be fighting with us for the number one pick based on their situation. But you also play the Eagles again. So if you just look at those two in-conference games, that may be two losses right there. And in 10 wins, I don't know if you even have a chance. So putting Tommy DeVito into the mix actually gives the Giants a chance to look to see if Tommy DeVito can be potentially a good backup. He has enough games. He has seven games left to prove that he can become a good backup. And maybe even give the Giants a chance to fight for that number one overall pick in the NFL draft next year.
I can't see him fighting for that number one pick overall. And the rumors are just ridiculous. They're talking about Deion Sanders' son, who's the quarterback for Colorado, and he's in his fourth year starting, possibly being a top two or three draft pick in the NFL, maybe two or three quarterbacks, maybe not the two or three pick, but in the top five, and one of them be a quarterback. And they said, well, they might be a package deal. Deion comes in as a coach, and then his son comes in as a quarterback. I don't see that. That's too much pressure, because you think about it, the coach, if he doesn't win, he's going to be out of here. And then if the quarterback doesn't do well, they're not going to re-sign him. That's too much pressure. But I just hate it when you talk about the Giants, our team, taking the top draft choice with seven games to go. I don't see them giving up. I don't see Brian Daboll giving up. I still think that he and Joe Schoen, the general manager, can work together and come to. They did not, as you had told me before, they did not bring in their quarterback. Give them a chance to do it.
Yeah, and we can get into the two quarterbacks that are the top two quarterbacks in college football based on all of the college scouts out there, which is Cam Ward from Miami and Shador Sanders from Colorado. But I really want to take a look at Tommy DeVito, since he will be the starting quarterback for the G-Men. What is it going to take for him to actually excel, to be the guy that we need him to be in order for us to be successful? And when you look at his Illinois tape, I don't want to look at the Giants tape. I want to take a look at the Illinois tape, because they were good. They were ranked 17 his last year with Illinois. And I think this is where he showed poise, command of the offense, and he looked like a leader.
He's going to get his opportunity here with the Giants. With seven games to go, you have a chance to show people that you've improved. He's only going into his third year, Charles. So if he's an athlete and he's worked hard, you're going to see levels of improvement. Tampa Bay is not a great team. They open up this week. I'll be his first game. Last year, he didn't show me much, but he's only in his second year. And a lot of times they say as a player goes up in life, he gets better as he goes along. I know I got better my second year than I did my first year. So I don't know what's going to happen because I didn't see anything that made me get out of my seat. You know, every once in a while you see a basketball, football, baseball game, something happen, and you get up out of your seat because it's great. I have not seen anything from Danny DeVito to make me get up out of my seat. So it's going to be a big thing for everybody. The thing about it is that, you know, you really don't want the first pick in the draft, but you want at least a chance to get the top quarterback. And that's what the Giants need. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane need to bring in their quarterback to see, and that then you kind of judge them on what they do in, as far as that's concerned.
Now, isn't Travis Hunter eligible? Or is he eligible for, is he a sophomore or is he a junior?
I think he's a junior, but they say he may win the Heisman because he's a great defensive back and a great wide receiver. But I don't think the Giants should put their eggs in that basket because they need a quarterback. And they could always use another wide receiver because Slayton was hurt and Jalen Hyatt is still slowly coming around. But I think you got to get a quarterback first. But people were talking about, Charles, that the Giants haven't had a good offensive line in about 8 or 9 years because of they didn't do that for Eli. So what makes you think they're going to do it for Danny DeVito?
Yeah, well, the one thing I'm excited about is the offensive line. If you look at what they've put together, obviously none of them have actually been on the field all at once. But what they put together, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, that Evan Neal was probably the highest graded offensive lineman to play in that game a couple of weeks ago. And if he continues to improve and he gets his mind right, and especially with the acquisitions that they made during the offseason, they may have set up their offense for a prototypical quarterback, whether it be from free agency or in the draft. You can put this quarterback or set this quarterback up, whoever it is, in a good situation where now he has all the tools he needs to be successful. He just needs a great offensive coordinator that can manage the game and do the things that elevate the game that whatever quarterback we pick, elevate their game to a level that is competitive in the NFL.
But you know what I just got from what you said? You said the Giants maybe need an offensive coordinator. So you're saying they should get rid of Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator or as the head coach? Because you look at the Giants, they haven't put many points on the board in the last 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, they really don't. They don't. It's a rarity they get to even 20 points. So do I blame the offensive coordinator or the head coach, or do I blame Danny Jones? Danny Jones has the ball in his hands 98% of the time. He's the one who decides what to do with the ball. So who do we give the blame to?
You know, I don't know if we can give the blame to Brian Daboll 100%, because obviously look at what Daniel Jones has done over the past 10 weeks, right? He hasn't thrown the ball deep at all. Obviously, we can't see if there have been opportunities, but if you listen to reports and you listen to how people grade the games, there have been a number of opportunities. You don't see Malik Nabers playing a significant role in the offense as much as we would like since from the week one and two. You don't even see the rookie tight end getting as involved as he should be. So I think there's room for growth, and maybe we'll see if it was Daniel Jones or is it Coach Daboll, because obviously, you'll see based on the type of plays that are being called, who's really at fault.
Well, but see, the thing about it is that Danny Jones is in his sixth year. A lot of these young quarterbacks, like the guy from Washington, is in his first year in Chicago. You got guys in their second and third year doing it. You got even former Jet quarterbacks that are at Minnesota. Sam Donaldson is doing a pretty good job in his fifth or sixth year. I just think Danny hadn't shown me what I wanted to see. Okay, when you are not accurate with the football, Charles Wade, you throw the ball behind the receiver where he's got to slow down to make the adjustment. And then once he catches it, if he does, you have to make the adjustment to get back to where you're going. I think if you throw the ball in stride, the receiver, the running back, whomever, has a chance to make yards after the catch. And I don't see the accuracy in Danny Jones that I needed to see. And the bad thing is that I don't know if he hurt the Giants organization by having a good year 1 year and then coming back and seeing what he's really like, because he had one good year under Brian Daboll. Brian kind of settled him down a little bit. They made the playoffs. They did well. And then all of a sudden he gets $40 million a year. And now we have to wonder why you gave it to him and you messed up Saquon Barkley. People are talking about Saquon Barkley should have been the one who stays and Danny should have been the franchise guy. And then you'd have at least a chance when you get your best quarterback up there that you have a chance to do something.
But would you want to be – my question is, would you want to be Seattle, which has Geno Smith and is an adequate quarterback to, you know, above-average quarterback? I don't know – wouldn't put him in the good to great category, just because. Do you honestly believe the Seattle Seahawks, as they're currently constructed, has a chance to win a Super Bowl this year, based on what you see in the NFL?
No, they don't.
And so, do you want to be in a land of purgatory where you're good enough, where you're not helping your team in a draft, and you're not helping your team win championships? And so do you want to be in that sort of purgatory where I'm going to remain average and good, be competitive every year, but never win anything? I wouldn't want to be like that.
That sounds like the Dallas Cowboys, what they do. Because you know for sure they didn't do nothing to make their team even better from last year. I just think that it's a tough situation if you don't have a quarterback. And they talk about coaches that are offensive-minded and coaches that are defensive-minded. They said the defensive-minded coaches are usually the ones that have the problem. But that can't be true, because you look at Mike in Pittsburgh. He's a defensive-minded coach, and he's having a heck of a year. So it's hard to judge that. But when you bring a quarterback in from college, you're flipping a coin, because you don't know who's going to be good and who's not. And the only thing you can do is try to do something within that four-year period of time before his salary goes up. I know that Geno Smith, he has an average salary around $30-something million. And I think quarterbacks in the future hopefully will bring the money down a little bit so you can sign other great players. Because I don't think, like a la the Cowboys, you could do it with a quarterback being the top-paid guy in the league, and then you're not shoring up other areas. So it's a tough situation to be a general manager in the National Football League.
Yeah, and especially how many teams would that, if you look at the all 32 teams in the league right now, how many teams actually have quarterbacks that you can say, I will pay them $50 million? That's really a handful of guys. Like, look at the Tennessee Titans. They have Will Levis, right? He's having an okay year, but would you pay him $40 to $50 million to keep him?
Hell no. Excuse my language. Hell no. Go ahead.
And so when you look at that, that's a young quarterback that's about to his rookie contract is about to be up, and so they're going to have to make a decision on him. But do you take a chance and do what the Giants did with Daniel Jones and spend $50 million on a guy that may not be the answer for your team?
I think this is going to set general managers and teams back for a long time. Just look at Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was one of the first few quarterbacks to make $50 million, and he's hurt. He's not even available for his team. And that kind of gets me to thinking, well, people get mad at running backs. Quarterbacks are probably worse than that because they don't live up to the hype that is dealt. At least a running back is a skilled position, and you know that he can get you yards per carry or extra receptions. But a quarterback who's not accurate with the football is not leading your team to big points. It's difficult. So it's a tough situation, and I kind of don't think that any quarterback should take that money. Look at Dak Wilson, $60 million. They have never gone to the NFC Championship game since he's been there or since Jerry Jones in 1990-something. So I just think that they inflated that quarterback number too much for me as a former running back.
I totally agree with you. We can get into that when we take a look at the NFL. But as we kind of move to next week's opponent against the Buccaneers, like you said earlier, this is probably one of the toughest opponents Tommy DeVito could get his first NFL start for 2024 against because of their defense and Todd Bowles. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, and I like Todd Bowles. I liked him when he was the head coach of the New York Jets. I think he had a tough situation because he had a rookie quarterback that didn't pan out. And I just think it's going to be a tough situation because even though Baker Mayfield, and I'm not a great fan of him, I have to admit he's gotten better, he's worked hard at what he's done, and he's leading Tampa Bay to a possible playoff situation. So I just think it's going to be a tough situation for the Giants. They lost a few in a row. This is Danny DeVito's first start of the season. He's got to be a little nervous. But if he does anything, if you think about it, he's auditioning for 31 other teams in the NFL. Anytime you're on film, it's a time for you to show people that you can play the game.
But, you know, what I do like about the way the Giants are set up for the next 7 weeks and the future is that from an offensive standpoint, they have all of the pieces in place. They have wide receivers. You don't have to focus on wide receiver in the draft. You may want to focus a wide receiver in free agency, but I don't think you have to worry about any of the skill positions on the, in the offense or the offensive line. And so the one key position that I think we've been talking about ad nauseum up to this point is the quarterback. I think the major part, the part of this team that the Giants need to focus in on is our defense. Whether it's through free agency or the draft, you need to solidify and put somebody next to Dexter Lawrence to help him. Maybe do something with Brian Burns if he's not going to be the answer. And then get a stud linebacker that can help you. I'm pretty excited about the DBs, the young DBs that we have. They're learning. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Learning by trial by fire, and they've been standing up. But basically, the one bone of contention I've always had with this defense is they can't stand up against the run, and they need to do something to change that.
Is it the defensive coordinator? Because this is the first year defensive coordinator that came to the Giants. Because Wink was the guy last year, and I thought he did a decent job. But this year, I see the Giants are giving up a lot of big yardage running the ball. And anytime you can run the ball, it gives you an advantage, it gives you confidence. And I think that's one reason why they run away from Dexter Lawrence. But the defense has kind of disappointed me this year because the Giants have had a chance at the end of the games to stop people, but they didn't do it. I think that they're going to have to really analyze the entire defense because they do have some talent. With the defensive backs and Brian Burns and a couple of people, Okara, I just think that they're one or two people away on defense, and they addressed all the needs last year. This year they're going to have to do it again.
I totally agree with you. And as we look forward to what this weekend brings, having Tommy DeVito on board, seeing what he can do, see if he can actually make this team more watchable than they have been under Danny Jones, I think will be exciting to see. And we would have a lot more to talk about next week based on what we see this weekend. But as we wrap this segment up of talking about the Giants, we want to bring you one of the all-time greats, New York Giants, one of the 1986 Super Bowl offensive lineman. Carl Nesson is our guest. He will be up after this break, and we'll be back in a minute. You're watching The Expressway with the BT Express and Charles Wade. Back in a moment.
BT Express, Bill Taylor. We got another great Giant legend, Carl Nesson, here with us today. He's our resident aficionado of all things off the line, and we need some help. So I'm coming to you for some answers. What's going on?
Well, one of the top left tackles anyway. The problem is, they don't practice. I always tell people we hit more in the first week of training camp than they hit the entire year of practice. How can you get better if you don't practice? So, but I don't know why other offensive lines do better than ours does. They just not get away with it. It's not the right coaching. I heard some good things about the coach they have now. But they're winning with the top guys and stuff. And it's just as hard to get better when you practice. How do you get better when you practice?
But isn't it part of the
coach? We had where two we were at for 2.5 years, I think Billy Harden was 1 or 2 games. That was the only guy who missed any time in 2 days. That helps tremendously. You know what the guy's gonna do before I know what he's gonna do. That helps. I mean, just looking at this guy, I see, you know, the running twist. There's no smooth transition between the guys when they're running defense line or twist, not passing the guy off. I see mental errors, which drives me nuts, because that's preventable. I mean, a mental error is the most preventable thing out there. And if you make a mental error, that's 100% on you, and that should never happen. And that's just lack of preparation. Some guys leave the stadium, there's too much stuff on them, and there's too many things that they can do. And they don't focus. Once they leave the stadium, I think too many guys just quit thinking about the game. And it's obvious, because if they're thinking about the game, after when they go home, they wouldn't be able to see the six or the nine. You know, I used to play the game in my head before I went to sleep every night. I'd play the game in my head. And I would say, I used to, you know, get ready to play Reggie White. I'd say, yeah. And I see him do a move and I see him beat me. I don't like that. I don't do the same move in my head. I'll see what I'm going to do. So, and by the time the game, you know, I've played the game 4 or 5 times in my head. I don't know what's going on.
But you would think they would with the move they're making.
But it doesn't matter. Well, I think it's making it harder for them because there's so many other things that they can do. When I was making $75,000 a year, I didn't have any Ferraris. I wasn't taking trips around the world. I wasn't socializing with other guys in the NFL because we didn't like them. And we weren't, you know, doing all this stuff, you know, together with the other guys. And there's so much more for distracting guys today. And I think the more money you make, it just gives them more ways to be distracted.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But to your point, LeBron and Sean Ryan, those guys
are the same guys. Yep. Bart was there for both. Bart was the only one who was there for both on the offensive line. Yeah, the rest, well, because so in '86, I remember Parcells getting up in front of the team saying, "I'm the only fat guy on this team. Nobody's weighing more than 285 pounds." Okay, I was given 285. Leonard Marshall was given 285. But Joe Morris got hurt. We had Steve Sanders, so Marshall lost a couple of snaps. He was like, I got to run between the tackles. How am I going to do this? So I went out and drafted Jumbo Elliott and Eric Moore and Brian Williams and Tom Pratch and all these, you know, 300 plus guys. And so that's why the line changed over, was because I wanted to go big to run inside.
What's really interesting to me is that the work of the opposite tackle and the guard working together, and they say sometimes it has nothing to do with talent, it's just camaraderie.
It is. It's just camaraderie. It's knowing, you know, what that guy's going to do, how he's going to do. I mean, you know, Chris Godfrey and I, you know, I remember we came off the field one time, and Brian Hogan, the line coach, said, you guys just threw up there. And so, Coach, Chris couldn't get to his guy. I was having this problem with my guy, so we just switched. He's like, brilliant. Brilliant, because that's just how it worked. Chris is like, well, I'm having a problem getting to the linebacker because my guy's slanting down so hard. I can't stop him from hitting Chris. So, fine, Chris is passing off to you, and I'm going to get the linebacker you're supposed to get. It was great. Wasn't planned.
That's what we did. Like, when just let me know what you're doing.
Right.
And I don't think I
forgot. Right. Yeah, don't do it half-assed. Don't almost get up, and then, oh, what about this guy over here? Then you block nobody. Block one. And you can only block one. So I don't see these guys, they're trying to do this, and they're trying to do this. And you can only block one guy.
Are you guys trying to work
it out? Well, that's mental preparing them and them doing the work at home to know all these situations. So you can only cover so many situations in practice. You've only got so many plays. Plus, you're not practicing that hard anymore. You're going to walk through stuff. So you've got to do that prep in your head.
okay, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do. Because if we didn't practice, that doesn't mean I'm not going to see it. I think some of these guys are surprised by what they see on Sunday because they haven't done the mental practice.
Okay, listen, this is number 63 on the Giants 1986 Super Bowl team, Carl Nelson. We'll come back with more. We'll talk more on the expressway after these messages.
Thank you. I know. We gotta get to work.
Hello to the white.
Thank you.
And we're back. Thank you, Carl, for joining us. Great to catch up with you. You're watching the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles. Show me the way. We are now talking about another depressing situation for the New York area fans. We are talking about those Jets. How in the world can you lose to the Indianapolis Colts? I think now it's all but guaranteed that the whole staff, Aaron Rodgers, they're cleaning house, because I think the defense has given up on the head coach, and Aaron Rodgers has given up on this team.
No, I don't think he's given up, because he led them to at least have a lead, and the defense is the one who let him slide. I think a lot of the defensive players are overrated, because I thought coming to the season they had a chance to be one of the top five teams in the NFL in defense. They have not played anywhere near their potential. Even some of their defensive backs haven't played extremely well enough to shut people down when it counted. And it's putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, because when he comes in the game, they're already down. But I thought he played pretty well last week. They lost 28-27. He's, people say, well, he's too old and over the cliff or whatever. I don't think so. I just think they have to get a better team behind him. The bad thing is that, I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason for the Jets, because, a lot of people want Aaron Rodgers to come back because of the great running game and their ability to maybe shore up some areas. But if you don't win in New York, that's one of the toughest places to play. So I don't know what to say, but I think that you should let him come back, because he's coming off a serious Achilles injury, which he has progressed and done well, and has hung in there and showed toughness. And at times it shows he does have some of that old Aaron Rodgers in him.
Yeah, but he moves around like he's 50 years old back there in the pocket at times. He doesn't have that same agility and quickness that he had maybe even 2 years ago before the injury. I just think he looks a little old back there. It doesn't help that they don't have an offensive line. The one thing I don't like, and I've been around it, you can't build a team, or you can't build an offensive line through free agency with 12 to 15-year veterans, because those guys have taken such a beating that they can't do it anymore. I think the lifespan of a lineman is probably 12 to 15 years. Look at what the Jets have back there. Tyron Smith, he doesn't even look like he's the same guy, right? He can't get out of his stance. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is under pressure almost every play. He drops back to pass. It's tough back there to build a line with old guys. And so you got to be very strategic on how you build this line. And they started with the offensive tackle from Penn State. They need to build it like the Giants built their offensive line. They got a mix of veterans and young guys on that offensive line. And I don't even think they have a 10-year vet on that offensive line, the Giants. So I think there has to be some type of sabermetrics that you got to watch to kind of determine what type of offensive lineman you should have, especially when you have a guy that doesn't have the mobility that he once had.
Which is incredible, is we have a chance to look at both organizations at the same time. They're both not doing as well as we want them to do. Who's worse, the Giants or the Jets?
I think the Jets are worse, just because you look at their team and who they have a great defense, a lot of mixture of young and older veterans. But how long is that window going to stay open, right? They may have another 1 or 2 years based on the age of their team. They've tried to build their team with veterans, good veterans. But how much longer do those good veterans have to play the way we think they should play? You think about it. You think about the wide receiver they picked up from the Raiders, and you look at
Adams,
and then you look at you look at Williams, the other receiver, and what they bring to the table. How much longer do you think they'll wait? Because somebody's going to have to get paid on that roster, especially if you want to keep the young talent. You got Breece Hall, who's probably one of the most underrated running backs in the NFL based on what he's done. Just because he's playing for the Jets, I think if Breece Hall were on any other team, I think he would get more hype than what he has right now, because I think he's one of the best running backs in the AFC. He probably has to be top five running backs in the NFL.
Well, you know, I agree with you on a lot of stuff, and I think probably it's management, because they're the ones in charge of bringing an offensive line who's capable of protecting Aaron Rodgers and putting mega holes for the running backs. So I think that the Jets are further away than the Giants because they haven't addressed situations that probably would have made them have a better team. Because when you bring Rodgers, you know, a guy like that is already 39, 40 years of age when he comes, you need to make sure it's easy for him. It's been hard for him coming in, having to run around against tough defenses in the league. No offensive line can keep every defensive line from getting to the quarterback every time because they're too good of athletes on the defense. So the Jets, I'm going to give them one more year, but I mean with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not going to give the coaching situation one more year. They got someone who's kind of a lame duck situation. He's not really adding anything to the offense. And so I just hope that they can make good decisions in the offseason and bring Aaron back and hopefully put a great team around him.
But do you need my question for you is being pretending you're the GM? Do you bring in a young, up and coming coach with fire like Minnesota has, or do you bring a veteran coach, somebody like a Bill Belichick in to right the ship?
I would bring in Belichick if I could, but if I couldn't bring in Belichick, I'd bring in a young coach who's got fire in his belly and who's going to lift everybody. Because at the beginning of the game, sometimes when I watch the Jets, they seem like they're not ready at the beginning to play. As they get going later on, they catch up because they were down 10-0. They come back and try to make it a close game at the end. So I think that's coaching. And I feel sorry for the Jets because they're not getting all the needs that they have to be a good football team.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with you. Obviously, we talked about the poor showing of the Colts and the Jets. But when you look at around the NFL and the great games, Buffalo took out the great Kansas City Chiefs. As always, they put in a good show every time they play against one another. You saw the Chargers come back and beat the Cincinnati Bengals. You see the Raiders take another L and Antonio Pierce out there. What do you think that he comes back next year if you're the Raiders, if you're Davis, and would you bring Antonio Pierce back given their organizational situation?
And just like your former teammate Antonio Pierce, I definitely pull for him to come back. I've met him many times, great guy. But when you lose in the NFL, especially when you're a lame duck coach, when you came in, it was almost like the guy, Jeff Saturday, he came into Indianapolis, he was a broadcaster, they put him at the coach, and they didn't win, so he's back to broadcasting. I think the same thing is going to happen to Aaron Pierce. He's going to settle somewhere because he's proven he can coach, but I don't think it's going to be with the Raiders, and I feel bad because, you know, the Raiders, you know, they're one of the good organizations, but they have to start winning pretty soon.
And if you had to do your power rankings for the top five teams in the NFL, who would you rank as number one? Based off of last week,
I'm going to go with Buffalo Bills as number one. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions as number two. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles number three. I'm going to go with Kansas City number four. And Baltimore number five.
Not Pittsburgh?
I'm going to put six in there. Pittsburgh hasn't come to the strength of their schedule yet. They're going to have to play the Cincinnati's and everybody. They beat Baltimore, but they still have yet to play some of the other teams. So the jury's still out. But the quarterback, Wilson, is playing better than I thought he would. And that's the key to winning in the NFL.
Absolutely. And the key to winning, we tied 4-4. Didn't change after last week's games. The key to winning is not thinking with my heart and start thinking with my head. I've actually done pretty good the last 2 weeks. I haven't lost. I can say that. So that's exciting. So let's get to it. Let's see about NFL Week 12. Let's see if I can make up some ground and see what we can do. First matchup, Steelers versus the Browns. This is probably We're going to pick the same team. I'm picking the Steelers. No discussion.
There is no discussion because even Jameis Winston, who plays with Cleveland, still is throwing interceptions.
Buccaneers versus the Giants. You know, I love the Giants. You know, I can never go against, but I got to catch up, so I'm going with the Buccaneers.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Giants because I think one of us got to go with the Giants. I'm going with the Giants. You're going with the Bucks.
You got the Chiefs and the Panthers. Hey, man, let me just tell you something. The Panthers have been playing really well. They beat two teams and got both of their almost got somebody fired after they beat both of these teams. You got the head coach fired the week you won your second game, and you got the quarterback fired the week you won your third game. So who's going to get fired against the Chiefs? I don't think anybody. Chiefs all the way in this one.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with the Chiefs also, but it would be a good time for an upset because the Chiefs are coming off their arch rival, Buffalo. It would be a good time for the Panthers to beat them, but I'm going with the Chiefs also.
You got the Cowboys and the Commanders. This isn't a game. Dak Prescott is out. I'm going with the Commanders.
I'm going with the Commanders also. I just don't like Dallas anyway, and they kind of, you know, find out that Jerry Jones is not the reason that they are terrible. It's the reason that they're not winning.
Patriots versus the Dolphins. Looks like Tua is back, got the Dolphins rolling. Actually, the NFC East, AFC, the AFC in general, but the AFC East is probably not up for grabs given how Buffalo is playing, but the Dolphins are playing well now. I'm going with the Dolphins.
I'm going with the Dolphins also. I think the Pats are playing better, but the Dolphins have their quarterback Tua, and they're going to win.
Titans versus the Texans. I love my CJ Stroud. They're playing in Houston. I'm going with the Texans.
I'm going with the Texans also. My sister has season tickets, and she guarantees me Texans are going to win.
The Lions and the Colts. Man, after putting up 52 points last week, who would bet against the Lions? I'm going the Lions all the way.
You're making this tough for you to try to get some victories in. Colts beat the Jets team. I didn't think the Colts were that good, but they won, so I'm going with the Lions also.
Vikings and the Bears. This is a game. I'm a ride the Chicago bandwagon, even though I don't think they have a chance against the Minnesota Vikings. But I'm gonna go against you because I know you're gonna pick Minnesota. I'm going with Chicago.
I'm going with Sam Donaldson, 6-year quarterback, number one draft choice of the Jets. You have the Bears, I got the Vikings.
All right, Broncos versus the Raiders. Obviously, we just talked about AP and his job security. I think he does deserve one more year because of the uncertainty at the quarterback position. They don't have a quarterback. I think Minshew is a great backup but not a starter. And until they fix that situation, they're not going to be right. I'm going with the Broncos.
And I hate to go with the Broncos because I'm a Raider fan, but I got to go with my heart.
All right. 49ers versus the Packers. This will be a good game. 49ers haven't looked good for a long time, and it could be because their tight end is still hurt. If he comes back, I would feel better about this pick, but I'm going to pick the 49ers versus the Packers. I just didn't like how they won last week, this past weekend.
You're going with the 49ers. I'm going with the Packers.
All right, Cardinals and the Seahawks. You know, I'm back on my Kyler Murray bandwagon. I was off for a little bit. He had to suck me back in. I'm going with the Cardinals.
And I agree with you, but I'm going with the Seahawks only because I'm going against your behind.
So okay.
I'm going with the Seahawks. You're going with the Cardinals.
Eagles versus the Rams. This has the potential to be an upset. Right, I know the Eagles have been playing off the charts, but I think the Rams have a chance to beat the Eagles this week. I don't know if I gotta vote with my brain and not with my heart. I'm gonna be rooting for the Rams, but I'm betting on the Eagles, so I'm going with the Eagles.
I'm gonna go against you anyway, just because I'm going against you.
Okay,
you got the Eagles, I got the Rams. I'm a Saquon Barkley fan. I hate to go against him, but they say now he's the top running back in the NFL. Do you agree with that?
He is, no question. Look, we were talking about Christian McCaffrey last year being a top running back because he could do everything, and Saquon wasn't the Penn State Saquon that we loved, the dynamite, explosive player. Every time he touched the ball, he could do something exciting. But this year, the roles have totally flipped. It's all about Saquon. You don't hear anything about Christian McCaffrey, even though he just came back from an Achilles injury. He's starting to work his way back, but you don't see the same explosiveness and excitement that you see out of Saquon this year. So this is no question. He is far and above the best running back in the league. And he bet on himself, so he will be getting paid.
And the thing about it is that he is getting holes to run through and is showing the talent that I saw from the jump when he came to the Giants.
Absolutely. Ravens and the Chargers, I don't like being on this bandwagon, but I'm going to go with the Ravens. I don't like Lamar Jackson, but he has done better. They have a great running game. I'm going to go with the Ravens over the Chargers.
I'm going with the Chargers because I think Justin Herbert showed me that he is. Did you see him play? He was running. He looked better running than I've ever seen him. Throwing the ball with accuracy. 6'6". I'm going with the Chargers.
All right. Awesome. Well, that wraps up our games.
Okay. So you have the Bears. I got the Vikings. You have the Bucks. I got the Giants. You have the Cardinals, I have the Seahawks, you have the 49ers, I got the Packers, you have the Eagles, I got the Rams, and you have the Ravens, and I have the Chargers.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to be back on next week. But ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, every week we're on YouTube. You can find us in there somewhere. Charles does an outstanding job of putting our graphics up and our up and down, stuff like that. Hope the Giants can go somewhere with Danny DeVito. So for Charles Wade, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. We call this the Expressway. Have a great evening. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
This is Alumni Media.